Numbers 31.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take vengeance for the children of Israel on the Midianites. Afterward you should be gathered to your people. So Moses spoke to the people, saying, Arm some of yourselves for the war, and let them go against the Midianites to take vengeance for the Lord on Midian. 1,000 from each tribe of all the tribes of Israel you shall send to the war. So there were recruited from the divisions of Israel 1,000 from each tribe, 12,000 armed for war. Then Moses sent them to war, 1,000 from each tribe. He sent them to war with Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, with the holy articles and the signal trumpets in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites, just as the Lord commanded Moses, and they killed all the males. They killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed, namely Evi, Rekem, Zur, Hur, Reba, the five kings of Midian. Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. And the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captive with their little ones, and took as spoil all their cattle, all their flocks, and all their goods. They also burned with fire all the cities where they dwelt, with all their forts. And they took all the spoil and all the booty of both man and beast. Then they brought the captives, the booty, and the spoil to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and to the congregation of the children of Israel, to the camp in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. And Moses, Eleazar the priest, and all the leaders of the congregation went to meet them outside the camp. But Moses was angry with the officers of the army, with the captains over thousands and the captains over hundreds, who had come from the battle. And Moses said to them, Have you kept all the women alive? Look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incitement of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now therefore kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman who has known a man intimately. But keep alive for yourselves all the young girls who have not known a man intimately. And as for you, remain outside the camp 7 days. Whoever has killed any person, whoever has touched any slain, purify yourselves and your captives on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. Purify every garment, everything made of leather, everything woven of goat's hair, and everything made of wood. Then Eleazar the priest said to the men of war who had gone to battle, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. Only the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that can endure fire you shall put through the fire. It shall be clean, and it shall be purified with water of purification. But all that cannot endure fire you shall put through water. And you shall wash your clothes on the 7th day and be clean. And afterward you may come into the camp. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Count up the plunder that was taken, both of man and beast, you and Eleazar the priest, and the chief fathers of the congregation. And divide the plunder into 2 parts, between those who took part in the war, who went out to battle, and all the congregation. And levy a tribute to the Lord on the men of war who went out to battle, 1 of every 500 of the persons, the cattle, the donkeys, and the sheep. Take it from their half and give it to Eleazar the priest as a heave offering to the Lord. And from the children of Israel's half you should take 1 of every 50, drawn from the persons, the cattle, the donkeys, and the sheep, from all the livestock, and give them to the Levites, who keep charge of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Moses and Eleazar the priest did as the Lord commanded. And the booty remaining from the plunder, which the men of war had taken, was 675,000 sheep, 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, 32,000 persons in all, of women who had not known a man intimately. And half the portion for those who had gone out to war was in number 337,500 sheep. And the Lord's tribute of the sheep was 675. The cattle were 36,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 72. The donkeys were 30,500, of which the Lord's tribute was 61. The persons were 16,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 32 persons. So Moses gave the tribute, which was the Lord's heave offering, to Eleazar the priest, as the Lord commanded Moses. And from the children of Israel's half, which Moses separated from the men who had fought, now the half belonging to the congregation was 37,500 sheep, 36,000 cattle, 30,500 donkeys, and 16,000 persons. And from the children of Israel's half, Moses took one of every 50 drawn from man and beast and gave them to the Levites, who kept charge of the tabernacle of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then the officers who were over thousands of the army, the captains of thousands and the captains of hundreds, came near to Moses. They said to Moses, "Your servants have taken account of the men of war who are under our command, and not a man of us is missing. Therefore, we have brought an offering for the Lord, what every man found of ornaments of gold, armlets, and bracelets, and signet rings, and earrings, and necklaces, to make atonement for ourselves before the Lord." So Moses and Eleazar the priest received the gold from them, all the fashioned ornaments, and all the gold of the offering that they offered to the Lord from the captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, was 16,750 shekels. The men of war had taken spoil, every man for himself. And Moses and Eleazar the priest received the gold from the captains of thousands, of hundreds, and brought it to the tabernacle of meeting as a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord.
So what do you think? What's going on here? There's an awful lot of stuff, isn't there? There is a study which I have not gone into yet, and I'm very fascinated with it, because the book of Numbers is called Numbers Why. It's a lot of numbers. And each number has a reason and an amount and a purpose behind it. I've not been able to analyze that yet, so, and that's a long study to do this one. I just can't put that together in a package. I've not found any commentary about all the numbers and how come they, but what the value is and why it was numbered in this direction. So, I know that probably, if I remember, that Daniel probably went through the book of Joshua already in the 13th chapter and kind of told you the past history that took place, which we see here now during time Moses of the Midianites. Now, keep one thing in mind. Who was Moses' father-in-law? He was a Midianite. So, but he was not a king, okay? And so, remember, they joined with Israel at the very outstart, the very beginning. But do you have any ideas or comments that you want to talk about first? Vengeance are mine, saith the Lord. All right, now, what do you think about vengeance are mine, saith the Lord? How does he take vengeance? Why did he take vengeance against the Midianites?
Leading them into idolatry and sin.
All right. It's sort of like, you know, keep in mind, you know, but sometimes when people, and he had to form a war. He had to go to war. He had to declare war. And sometimes it's a little bit difficult for us to sometimes picture when, let's say, you know, the United States declared war against Iraq, and maybe we don't know. Maybe God's going to have a go against Iran. And so sometimes you look at this thing and you say, well, we should not be going to war. However, along comes God and says, vengeance are mine, saith the Lord. How does he take on vengeance? He takes on vengeance by using the people that are with him. Those who are for him, he'll use them. Remember, these men came back and not one of them lost a life. And it was hard for us to understand some of the things of how God takes vengeance. And here he took the life of even baby boys. And took the life of all the women who had any kind of relationship with a man. But they're allowed to keep the ones that were not. Now, in our society today, that is an ungodly act. We believe that is a real strong ungodly act. So did God act ungodly? Huh?
No.
How did he act? Why would he want this? What was the purpose behind it? Because he would never have our society ever thinking about we need to take those kind of vengeance. But the women were involved in this particular case with the transgression. They were involved with what was going on. And therefore, they had to pay a price. Now, why would the baby boy have to pay a price for?
Seed.
Sorry, what?
His seed.
The pollution.
His seed, okay. Any other?
A baby boy who has had his family killed is apt to go and retaliate against those who killed his father.
And how do we know that's true?
Because it happens through history all the time.
Happens in history all the time. And biblically, it happened at what location? We went through this little act and play thing. And
Esther.
I'm sorry, what?
Esther.
Yeah. And
Haman.
One of the, that Haman was what? We're talking 3rd or 4th or 5th generation, probably. That bitterness seems in there. So what God needs to do is to eliminate the bitterness before it can be formed. How come killing the girl, women who had a relationship with a man for? Why eliminate them? Why can't you just go ahead and kill them? They did. They brought them all back, right? They killed the men of war.
Sir, what? You killed her husband.
Okay.
Well, because they were one with the men.
Also one with the men, but they may not have had a relationship with the Israelites, but they were their own husband who went to war against the Israelites.
They probably lost a son, most likely.
Yeah. And bitterness would have been set in. Bitterness sets in real quick. See, God can handle bitterness afterwards.
Well, they could have influenced the virgins also.
Primarily, because that's what they did. You know, so eliminate those women and their way of life. Now the young girls, and they would be young girls, they would not be a 20-year-old woman or 40-year-old woman who never had no relationship with men, because that was unreal. Back in those days, you know, they didn't have they had a different kind of society. And so now the young girls come on the scene, they're very young. Why would God say don't kill them? Why did Moses say don't kill them? You can have them. And you can distribute them out and take them in as your wives or as maids or whatever. Why would he do that? Why did he say that for?
They're pliable.
They're what?
They're pliable.
They're pliable.
They're malleable. You can still work with them.
So what does it tell you about women?
We're followers more than leaders.
God has built it within a woman to produce what her man plants.
Okay. Any other ideas?
Women are more forgiving.
More forgiving, okay. In the beginning, Adam was first, right? Now, so we have to go back to the beginning, and you have to say, now along comes Eve. Now, I know that the society has a really strong, may I just say the male society, in religiously speaking, they say, well, if Eve hadn't taken that cotton picking thing, we'd have world peace. Well, no, that's not the truth. Because, see, she was what?
Deceived.
What was Adam?
Nope, not deceived.
And that tells you something about Adam. It tells you that he was contemplating and thinking about contrary to the will of God. She wasn't. So these young ladies, it's built within the woman to do exactly what, you know, to do what she's supposed to do, and that is to yield. That's my cup of coffee or yours? Well, okay. Where's my cup of coffee? Here it is. So women are very, very interestingly made and created by God to do something. Yes.
Why did the woman seem to get the more painful part of the punishment?
You mean giving birth?
They're supposed to go out and work, earn the bread by the sweat of their brow, but the woman got the pain of childbirth.
Yeah, she also got the pain of doing dishes. No. Go ahead, Ellie.
I want to answer this. No, I'm retired. I had 7 kids, but it was a long time ago.
He still has to take care of me. He still works.
Why?
He still has to invest his money. He has to be careful. I have a place to live. Who has the harder job? I had the kids.
Yeah.
But he, from the day one, all his life, He has to give to somebody else.
The women are supposed to be helpmates. And that's what that really boils down to. And so sometimes men take it and they dominate. That's contrary to the Word of God. We know that. But let's get back to our subject matter here now. Women need to speak out here. What, really, honestly, why would you, if you were in that position and you didn't know any man, why would you go along with Moses?
You have no other option. You were dependent on your husband for everything. Yep. There was nobody you could go to. And you were in a very submissive position in society.
Okay, but we're not talking abusiveness in this case.
Not abuse, no, but just being submitted to your family because...
What does submission mean?
In that society, when you married your husband and you were then part of their family... So even if you were a Midianite and you were now married to a Jewish man, you were now considered part of their family. You left your father and your mother and you were cleaved unto your husband.
Act commandments the other way around, technically speaking.
But that's not what happened.
But that's not what happened.
Right, that's what they used to do.
That's what they used to do.
That hence the whole territory when it's passed from generation
Why?
To generation. It's through the male's line with a few
Correct.
Exceptions.
Correct.
And because
so
women didn't have a choice.
So women had absolutely nothing. Okay, now that's the Word of God.
Right.
They didn't have, unless there was no male son to take over. But then what happens when they marry? Their husband cannot take over the land,
Right. But
their son can take over the land. That's to keep the family.
But that's the right circumstances.
Okay, I'm going to be blunt here now. When women think they have to submit, it's a negative terminology in our society today. That's not what the Word of God says.
Right.
Why should the woman submit? What is the woman submitting supposed to represent?
You submitting to God.
The what?
You submitting to God.
Because of?
Love.
What does the word husband mean?
Addiction.
There's a husband woman and there's a husband man. What does the word husband mean?
Caretaker.
Okay. So what happens is that these men were now having to take care of and watch over these young women. And what is the woman going to do? She's going to, quote, submit voluntarily. Because that man is supposed to take care of her. Now, it seems like she's hopeless. No, because in relationship to the church, what are we supposed to do? Submit unto? All right, no, we submit unto?
Each other.
No. We submit unto the Messiah. We submit unto Christ. Now, do we think in our lives today, we're talking parallel here now, we think in our lives today, whether we were former Israelites or not Israelites, brought into the family of Israelites, what would you do? Do you think being submitted unto Christ is a horrible thing?
No.
That it's miserable and your life cannot, you can't do anything on your own? That you're not free to do what you want to do?
No.
Okay, so when we talk about submission, biblically submission does not mean, oh, I get to beat her up. You know, she has to obey everything I ever have to say. No, it has to do with the example of what a woman does. Women are, sorry men, the best example of what submission is supposed to be all about. You don't believe it? Just ask them. No, just ask them. And if she submits unto the husband, is a husband, a caretaker, what's he going to do? Baby her or bless her? Okay? This is where the husband must be. He is to be a caretaker. You know, it says, okay, I'm taking care of you. You know, that's a horrible negative strip. But if I bless her, like God blesses the church, then what happens? She gets a blessing. So submission, when we submit ourselves unto Christ, guess what? We get a blessing, not a cursing. We submit ourselves unto the Father. We get a blessing and not a cursing. And so these women, what we said here, that Moses is saying, since the other women have already been under the submission of another one, they're not going to submit unto Israel. It's important to submit unto Israel. Now, we're talking about Israel, what the name means, okay? Not the nation of Israel. But remember, his name was changed. Why? Why was Jacob's name changed? But he's also called Jacob many times.
He endured the fight and prevailed.
He just learned he was submitting unto this being that was stronger than him. He had to learn, and he did. And so he learned after that how to become a husband. He literally learned better after that point to become a husband. And it's quite a fascinating, interesting analogy. Women are really, us men really need to look and see. And we need to look at our wives. We need to know, yes, they're submitted to me. Because I am the one that God said, bless them. Because what are they going to produce for you? Children. They're going to bless you with children. Yes, the woman goes through pain and suffering because of that, but happened back during the time of Eve. But that's not the issue. The issue is the woman a woman should be the primary being with her husband. Not secondary, not third, not fourth, but number one she should be. Because why? That's how God planned it. So these young ladies that are coming in there, Moses is saying, get rid of those, hang on to the young women. They're going to receive a blessing from Israel. They're going to receive a blessing from the people of Israel, not a curse. They weren't cursed, were they? They were blessed, not only to stay alive, they're also blessed to become under the protection of the Creator of heaven and earth. What greater blessing would you want to give a little girl? You need to protect them. Now, the boys would have a tendency to not want to submit because they remember their father. And the history shows how often retaliation can come back in the third into the fourth generation. That's why the commandment says, unto the third and fourth generation. Okay? It's important that God knows what he's talking about because he's the one that created everything. Now, is there anything else we need to talk about? Now, about these numbers is very fascinating. I said I had to go through the numbers. There's an awful lot of numbering here, but the Levites got some of the women, didn't they? That's what it said. Some of the women. Now, wait, stop. Didn't it say that the Levite could only marry a Levite? The priest is only to marry the Levite. Priest of his own family. But the Levite can marry somebody that's not a Levite. Because he's not of the priesthood. He's to help the priest do his job. So, these young ladies were to receive a blessing from the Levitical Levites who are not priests. And if a man does not recognize this part in his life, like we always think, oh, the old days, it was always submission. Oh, the old days, women never had right. Oh, the old days, women are always... biblically speaking, that's not what God had in mind. Men have that in mind. People have that in mind. But not with God. How they're supposed to bless that thing that's next to him, the closest thing to him, the one that's dear to him, the one that's special to him. He's not supposed to put her into, quote, unquote, obedience because he's the man. No, I'm telling you, God is going to judge an awful lot of men on how they treated their wife. You don't believe me? I was a Malachi. He said, you priests, look what you're doing to your women. Your wives. And God's angry. Because you treat them like they're second-class citizens. Would women like to be treated second-class? I'll tell you, a wife should be treated as first class. Okay, this is my words today. I don't want maybe go into this, but I think it's very important. And a lot of men sometimes, oh, well, a woman, she's a numbness, and she caused me trouble, she's a pain in my end, I wish I didn't have, I wish I'd married her, I wish I did. But the truth is, the Word of God says, husbands, I created man first. And I gave you, Adam, this beautiful garden. I gave it to you, and then I gave you your wife. I gave you the woman. And what? Were you displeased? Oh, no, no. He's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This is great, you know. That's the attitude that needs to be put. In fact, the church needs to be able, people within the body of Christ need to really look at their women in that void, in that viewpoint. They are, a man receives a blessing from God, and what's that blessing? His wife. Now, he's supposed to turn around and not curse her, but bless her. And sometimes men need to ask their wife, what can I bless you with? You may not be able to bless what she wants, but, you know, but you understand what I'm saying. You know, then men need to kind of take a look at this thing. So,
what?
And when you look at all these numbers of all the cattle and all the donkeys and all the other things in there, and he divided them up evenly between the men of who went to war and the rest of Israel. Why would he do that for? When men go to war here in the United States, we don't have them come back with spoil, do we? We kind of do just the opposite. We give the enemy the spoil, and we come back with nothing, you know. But, you know, that's not how biblically. Now, why is spoil so important, biblically?
Well, it seems to be a blessing.
It is a blessing because of
their obedience and God
submitting unto what God wants them to do. And when you submit unto God, what God wants you to do, yes, these men didn't lose their life. Not one of them lost their life. They responded, they obeyed. These are younger men, by the way. They weren't the old generation. We're coming close to the end, because it says here, very beginning, you will be sleeping with your father soon. So we're coming to the end of Moses' life. But nonetheless, the blessing here we're getting here is that God has blessed not only the army with the spoils, he blessed the nation of Israel with the spoils at the same time. That's the benefit they get from responding to God. Now, why did God want them wiped out?
Because of idolatry.
No, they caused Israel to sin. Now, Israel had to pay the price, because what did he say? A plague. I've got to have set a plague upon Israel because they are not listening to me. And how was their life spared?
Phineas. Phineas through the spear.
That's right. You know, so now vengeance are now, he's relaxes. Okay, at least they hope they get the attitude at this point. They get their mind straightened out that this is what God has in mind. Now, we look at sometimes the Bible, and I know I've heard people say the Bible is the most bloodiest book in the world. Yeah, it is. It's one of the most bloodiest books in the world. Talks about a tremendous amount of death. And sometimes it upsets the Christian world because they have to look at it. Then they don't want to look at it, so they ignore it. I think sometimes the reason why the Christian world really doesn't like, if I can use this real carefully here, is if it bothers them about all this killing. So therefore, they say, we'll just throw out the entire Old Testament. Because the New Testament, what do we have there? Who got killed in the New Testament?
Jesus.
Did anybody else get killed?
Yes.
John? Who else?
All the apostles got killed.
Sorry, what?
All the apostles except John.
No, not during that time.
Right.
So it's a more peaceful, loving God on the other side of the book. He's not full of vengeance. He's not full of evil. He's not full of all this wickedness. He is not ungodly, and that's the issue. Why the Christian world has a hard time, not just with the law.
Until you reach the end of that book.
Yeah, reach the end of the book. But also, they consider it kind of crazy. That he's kind of crazy, you know. They all thought that John was crazy when he wrote it, too. But, okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
When they're splitting up all the spoils, Moshe gives a part to Adonai's part to Eliezer.
Yeah.
Now that's not the same. That's not like the tithe. The tithes represents the part that went to Levi.
Yeah. No.
So what did Eliezer do with Adonai's portion?
It was his.
His personally.
High priest got it from. He says, "All that was given to me, I give to Aaron and his family." So all that belonged to Eleazar. That's why the high priest never had to pay a tithe.
Okay.
That was.
I thought that was the. Isn't that the same as what went to the Levite?
No, Aaron is a Levite, but not all Levites are Aaron.
Okay. Aaron was a high priest.
Right.
And that's the difference.
Okay, Eleazar was a high priest.
Okay.
Or heading for the high priest. Aaron was dead. He was a high priest.
So basically Eleazar was raking in the dough.
He got his portion. The portion. Let's read down here. Let's read what it says here. He said, verse 37, the Lord's tribute of the sheep was 36,075. The cattle were 63,000, of which the Lord's portion was 72.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord's portion was 72, not 300,000.
Right.
So that 72 was given to the family of the high priest.
Okay, got it.
Okay, it's not sacrificed animals. This is his.
Right.
He can take it. He can use it. Whatever he wants to use.
Sacrifice.
No, this doesn't do sacrifices. This has to do with what's called spoil.
So, and what's the difference between this time where God let them keep the spoil and the times when God said, don't keep the spoil?
When God does the fighting versus when man does the fighting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Very clear. And concise, Daniel. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that why I said the same thing. I'm glad he said it because it makes, you know, hey, that's what he did. That's his word is word, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's why Jericho, as you brought out, was completely wiped out. That belonged to God. And the next city after that, there were spoils you will take. Daniel.
Eliezer gets all these things, but he also has 32 more mouths to feed. He didn't make out all that great.
No. He's now the high priest if everyone's related to him, including his brother and his nephews, his all that stuff. He's now responsible to make sure. That's what the high priest does. He doesn't just get it all and says, sorry, brother, it's mine.
Well,
No. It belongs to the whole family, yes.
That family's not landowners.
They're not landowners, right?
Yeah. The other tribes.
They were allowed to have a territory of cities, but not own a piece of land. Right. Any questions? Okay. That's it then.